impacting vehicular traffic because you would have taken out a lane for buses.
Correct. And, you know, then that bus lane would have to actually support the cost of all that pavement.
Maybe everybody got this, but the two transit options that we evaluated were the Star Line, which will be a rail, and Express Bus, which Rocco just explained. Those were the two that we included in our evaluation.
And there's going to be a little bit more on each one of these, so just to get you up to the other details. So what I have here then is the Star Line cross section. The first one that I talked about was the EBS cross section, master plan on top, EBS in between stations in the middle, very comparable to the master plan, and then the combination of the transit area down the bottom. The Star Line cross section, what we have here is to show again what the master plan would look like. It's up top, same thing as before. This is what you would see in the future options 4 and 7 in front of you. But the middle section shows what the right-of-way and pavement width that would be required to accommodate Star Line. Basically what we would need, this is in between stations, the area where you have the trains running side by side, separated by just whatever, some kind of median wall or whatever it would be. But here you see the additional pavement that would be required because we're pushing everything out, so it would affect some of the bridges. Also, we have some additional retaining walls, so this would be the area in between stations. We would need up to about 0 to 20 feet of additional right-of-way, so up about 20 feet of additional right-of-way on either side in the areas in between stations. And then where the Star Line would come into the station area, we would need, same kind of as the EBS, you need up to about 30 feet, so a little bit less right-of-way in the station area for the Star Line. It's really, and the reason you need a little bit more for the express bus services so buses can pass each other. That would not be an issue with the rail, but one bus came in, you'd have to have enough clearance to get through. So you'll see some of these options go in a little bit more detail as they come up. As Mike said, here's what the express bus service would look like. It's comparable to a BRT, but a little bit more simple. You can see the bus coming through the shared lane. It would come to the station area. So this is as it enters the station area. And here's what it might look like in the station area. These graphics, these are graphics that we just pretty much took from the Minnesota Department of Transportation, so we didn't create these for any particular purpose. These are basically readily available. Service may or may not look like this, but that kind of gets you the sense of how you would enter the station and how it would look in a station and as you would leave the station. So just get you a sense. So that's what it looked like. So we have some evaluation criteria of what we looked at to kind of compare all these alternates. You're going to see 9 different options. We looked at construction repair costs. We've looked at the additional cost to account for transit options. We looked at the impact on users or our customers. How do they get affected by these different what we do or what we don't do? We looked at how much additional capital needs are required from us or others. And we really looked at the implementation time frame because that's the reality that we have to deal with. We've got aging pavement out there. But I'm going to get you more details on each one of these alternatives in a moment. So as I said, we evaluated 9 different alternates. I'm going to hit some more than others. There's others that just don't make too much sense, but I want to put them out there for you anyway. They don't make sense to me. It might make sense to others. The ranges of options that we've looked at doing nothing, as you'll see. Doing nothing really is actually doing something, and that's quite significant of what has to be done to keep the roadway surface moving. We've looked at a reconstructed in kind, basically taking out the existing pavement and putting it back in without any new lanes or new capacity. We've looked at reconstruction widen, and we've looked at reconstruction widen with different transit components. All of these options, very important to note, were developed in coordination with Metro and the RTA, and talk to PACE and CMAQ, to ensure that the transit options and the elements are all comparable. The cost estimates that you see, they reflect agreed upon values. It's never easy to agree upon dollars and cost estimates when you've got a lot of people in the room, but we finally got to the point where we said, okay, every one of these agencies who has worked on this, we're happy with the cost. We feel comfortable that we are comparing apples to apples, which was a very key component of what we wanted to do. As far as this goes, so that was on both sides. A couple definitions I want to go through because you're going to hear some of this and you're going to see some of these things in the presentation. Construction. What does construction mean as far as our definition here? It's the cost of new roadways and bridges, including right-of-way, utility relocation, wetland mitigation, environmental remediation, fiber optics, engineering design, construction inspection and management, and program oversight. The values are based on conceptual engineering estimates, using our recent bid prices, and they do include a 25% contingency, which is pretty normal at this level of planning detail. The other definition that you'll see is the word repairs. Let's talk about what repairs is. Basically, the cost of repairs is basically, it's a limited construction that is required to keep our bridges and roadway in a state of good repair. So it's the intermittent repairs that, you know, you've seen some contracts, you've approved some contracts, intermittent pavement repair, that's what repairs are. Again, the values are based on conceptual engineering estimates using the recent bid prices, and also includes a 20% contingency. Other costs, this is important. These are costs that are related to the transit components. Again, it's related to the transit components that are not required for normal tollway operations, such as the inline express bus service. Direct and indirect costs include right-of-way, bridge expansions, striping, lighting, ITS, or intelligent transportation systems, utilities to accommodate future relocations and to accommodate the future transit corridors.
Yeah. So these other costs are costs that we would, you know, be incurred on this project if transit is incorporated. And Rocco mentioned earlier that we got together with the RTA and also with Metra, and we reviewed the cost, and we agree on the total cost. We haven't worked out all the details on who pays for what portion of this other cost.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
That should
be the easy part.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do.
Well, all right. That's one view.
I'm with you. And then there's additional transit costs that we've got to call these out. Basically, the other costs are basically defines what is needed to accommodate the service, basically to reserve the right-of-way for something. But there would be additional transit costs above and beyond what we're talking about to actually make the service operational. Those would be items such as the stations, the parking, the rolling stock, so the rail, the trains themselves, or the buses, or whatever it might be. These funds, all of these, very easily, must be provided by others, so the transit agencies or whoever it would be. But one cost, I'll let you know this too, as you'll see in some of these crossings, that is not included yet, that we haven't been able to figure out, because this could be kind of something negotiated, is the cost, because if we vacate our right-of-way down the middle of the roadway, there would be cost to transfer that ownership of the right-of-way to somebody. So we haven't factored in what that cost is, that component of the right-of-way, but we've factored in the cost of acquiring a right-of-way outside of a roadway, but not the cost to transfer the ownership of the right-of-way to whomever it might be. Another cost that you'll see is a user cost. What we try to do is to say there's more than just the hard costs. What are the soft costs? What does it mean every time we're out there doing a reconstruction or when we're out there doing, I should say, a repair? And what we do know is through construction, people leave our system. When we are affecting their commute, they're going to find different ways to go. So there is so what we've used is that, and then also there's cost due to people sitting in traffic. Basically, there's a federal wage salary that we've used to say here's how much the costs are, additional lost productivity or delays. So those are the user costs. The cost due to congestion, including increased fuel consumption, lost productivity, and again, these values are based on daily time lost per user and the average hourly wage that is lost during that time.
So those user costs will not be borne by us or the transit agencies. They're borne by the public. It's something that we're providing as a reference. It doesn't have to be, it's not something we need to figure out how to fund. We don't have to pay for it.
Then the last item you'll see is revenue. Basically what we show here is the net revenue gain from increased highway capacity or lost revenue due to construction impact. Again, what we do know is that every time we're out there in construction, people leave the system. So we want to make sure that you understand the long term what some of these ramifications are. So one of the first options.
Sorry, your conference is ending now. Please hang up.
Wasn't that long?
Is there something there?
That means they hung up.
Director Morris, you there?
It means they hung up.
They hung up a while ago.
I heard something.
Director Bradle had a.
Do we need to press something?
So option one. Now I'm going to try to hit some of these options that I said go through some of them quicker than others. Reconstruct later was one of the first options we looked at. What this is, it's the intermittent pavement repairs. And if you look at the book there that's handed out to you, there's a little bit more of a detail in here just because there's only so much to put in here. As you'll see, it's already very long in this. But it's the intermittent pavement repairs that we would do from now through 2016. Then at the year 2017, when we talk about later is the year 2017. Our current congestion relief program goes through 2016. So when we talk about later, we say anything later than this current program. So envision maybe next program. So we would do intermittent pavement repairs, keep the surface alive through 2016, and then we would start reconstruction in 2017 through 2022. This is reconstruct. This is basically taking what's out there now and putting it right back. No additional capacity. The benefit to this, it's one of the lower cost options that we have. It delays the reconstruction, the financing of the reconstruction until later. It wouldn't require any right-of-way, so it's completely controlled by us. But there are impacts to this because we have unreliable pavement conditions through 2017, basically meaning we'll have to continue to get out there, do some monitoring of the pavement to make sure it can survive. This does not address any of the capacity or delay issues that I mentioned earlier, the growth that's coming. Obviously, it's not going to address any transit, so it's what this option does do, it addresses our pavement infrastructure, but it doesn't address congestion, capacity, transit, or any regional planning components. The cost of this, like I said, is about $1.9 billion. User costs are about $372 million, one of the highest user costs is because we're not addressing the capacity needs. There's a lost revenue as part of this. The lost revenue is that over time, people will decide there isn't sufficient capacity on the tollway. I'm going to get off the tollway. So over time, this option does incur additional costs to our agency through lost revenue, or potential lost revenue. And then what we do is, in all of these, we talk about a net cost. Basically, taking all these pluses and minuses and putting them together, the total net cost for this option is about $2.271 billion. Reconstruct and widen later.
Rocco, is that through 2016? Is that before the reconstruction that you have up there from 2017 to 2022?
This would be the repairs from 2010 to 2016. We would start to reconstruct in 2017. We would be done with the full reconstruct by 2022. And then after 2022,
so that's the total cost through 2022.
This will be the total cost through 2022 in $2010. We brought everything into
right.
The apples comparison.
Present value.
Right, present value.
And we're bringing up, and I'm sorry, we have the year-over-year breakout of that cost impact. It just looks terrible on the screen. You
yeah.
Read it. So they're actually bringing that up. We'll give you hard copies of that now so you can see death by details.
Right, yeah, death by details is right. The second option that we looked at is reconstruct and widen later. This is comparable to everything that we've just recently wrapped up, as I said, on the Tri-State, on Interstate 88, on Veterans Memorial Tollway. Basically what we would do is intermittent pavement repairs using our existing program dollars now through 2016. In the year 2017, we would start our widening projects, reconstruct and widening projects. So the benefits of this is, again, we're delaying or deferring the cost until the financing at a later date. We would address congestion and capacity needs at a future date, so we would address those. Again, minimal right-of-way is required. We do know that we can fit a lot of this work in the middle of our right-of-way, which we've already done. But the impact associated with this option is that we would have unreliable pavement conditions through 2017 as we continue to do the intermittent pavement repairs. We delay construction increases some of the project costs, as you'll see in the next option. It would make any future median-based transit accommodations cost prohibitive. So basically what I'm saying here is if we went and did reconstruct and widen later, you wouldn't go back in at any point in time after that, or it would be very, very expensive to come and try to put something retrofitted into the median because it would be you'd have to start everything you just did. So it's you do this or you accommodate transit type of an option, or you don't accommodate transit in the future option. Again, what we would call this is our master plan option. That's just what we call all these prior projects, the master plan. The only ability that we would have to possibly accommodate transit on this alternative would basically be to run it possibly as a shared use lane with no stations in the middle. So you'd be able to get that managed lane or shared use lane, congestion pricing, whatever it would be, whatever you want to call it, down one of the lanes, and the bus would have to get off the system. Go to the station and an interchange or wherever it might be. So that would be the only way to be able to accommodate transit through this corridor. Reconstruct and widen now, it's basically the same option that I just went over, but the difference with this would be we would do it now. Now would be maybe 2011 when we would start. This project has the lowest construction cost at $1.8 billion, because again, we're doing it sooner rather than later, so we're not having to deal with inflation. There is a $150 million user cost because there would be some construction impacts during construction. And the lack of capacity throughout construction, it would bring in the greatest amount of revenue of all these options because you're bringing the improvements online sooner rather than delaying and deferring it. So that would be about $124 million of revenue impact on that, on the positive side. And as I said, this was one of the lowest cost options. What it does, it provides a reliable pavement for now. We don't need any right of way for this this project. It addresses the congestion issues now, and it allows the potential reinvestment of that money that I showed earlier, that are already in our current program, into this this option. That would be one potential thing that we have there. It does have the highest revenue. Again, this anything in this option would preclude the Star Line, and obviously, you know, another issue that we have, the impact of this is would require an immediate source of funding. So this was the option three, reconstructing widening now.
On this option, what are you assuming regarding congestion? The widening would relieve congestion?
The widening would relieve congestion is what we're seeing right now.
For how long?
10 years. Yeah. I think that's the reality. Is when you put in these new lanes, that's what we're projecting, that you're going to get about 10 years mm-hmm. of useful service, and then would get back, I shouldn't say useful service. No. You get 10 years of good congestion relief, and after that initial 10-year period, you're kind of back to where we are today. Maybe we get 12 years since there's been a little bit of
And that's a good point, I think, because regardless of whether or not we do combine our work with transit, we would still be recommending that we widen it. You're still going to have the need.
Okay, so those are basically the totally only options. Now what we needed to do here is kind of start opening up our minds a little bit to say, okay, what can we do to start accommodating transit, serving that long-term need, making sure that our lanes and our roadway and the whole system operates as efficiently as possible, not for just the immediate future, but for the long term. So now we start looking at some of the transit options. Option four is reconstruct and widen later. So we're going to continue these intermittent pavement repairs through 2016. And in 2017, we would start doing a reconstruct and widen accommodating reserved right-of-way for transit. The benefits of this particular option is that, again, we would defer the financing to later. It would just address congestion and capacity issues for the long term. It is a multimodal alternative and incorporates the local demand. But it's also important to know that any if we went with an express bus service system, it does preclude the Star Line. It's not compatible the way they would be designed and built. We talked to Metro, trying to figure out how do we do this, and we just couldn't do it out of the two different options. There might be some common elements, but not too much that would be salvageable. A couple things to point on here. You know, the impact that we would have is we would have the unreliable pavement through 2017. The delayed construction increases the overall cost. Transit funding may not be available by 2017 or possibly even after 2017. So that's something for us to consider as we go through the transit. Additional transit costs for this. Let me just talk about some of the costs on this really quick. The total construction cost, tollway only, would be about $2.477 billion, just to accommodate the reconstruct and widening on the tollway. The reason this is higher than others is because we're deferring it to later. The other cost, so the cost to accommodate the transit element, this would not be to actually have an operational service. It's basically to carve out the necessary right-of-way and width and make sure the bridges and the openings and the retaining walls are all built right, would be an additional $786 million. To make the EBS, or the Express Bus Service Transit system operational, you would need an additional $525 million on top of the $786. So all told, it would be about $1.3 billion in that range to make the service fully operational. And let me explain what fully operational would be. There would be a terminal station at the east end, so you basically have a direct link into the, and this will be comparable to both the Star Line and the Transit, a direct link into the CTA Blue Line at the east end. There would be 10 stations all along the corridor at the at various communities. At the west end, you would have another dedicated ramp under a terminal station into the Hoffman Estates Prairie Stone Complex. So when I say making the service fully operational, that's what it would be. 10 stations, terminal stations on either side. So it is a, you know, the true, real deal transit service on both ends, both EBS and the Star Line. So those are some of the costs on this one. I wanted to kind of explain what this means. And Mike's got some, if you want to see this, I don't know how well this is going to show up, but just to kind of explain, we've got two representative sections that, you know, with the, throughout this area, we've got the suburban areas, and then we have more of the open space. And I'm going to show you some of what it would look like if you were trying to accommodate these transit services in both of these areas. So again, the cross section that you see up here on top of right, that's our master plan. This is the cross section of the cooling station, which would basically be representative of what you see in these areas. I don't know how well it comes up, but hopefully it'll just show a little bit better. Where we would get any right of way through here, you start seeing, we pick up a little bit of orange. Now we might start needing some right of way to accommodate the station area. If you come to the station, it's brownish, reddish, that would be the station platforms in this. So you can kind of see everything in orange would be the new pavement, the outside of the pavement. So what you see here in red is the existing right of way. So what we would need to accommodate this alternative is basically another 20 feet on either side, another about 35 feet on either side in the station area, and then take it down to nothing in between the station area. One of the issues that we have to deal with is blue line. This is part of the issues that we have to deal with in construction, one of the biggest issues. All this blue, just outside of the right of way, are utilities. Some of these are major, major utilities. I know we've got a, I don't know, 84 inch water main, I believe that runs through here. The dollar service, the price of running around, we've got accommodated utilities that run above us, parallel to us. We've got a lot of things like spaghetti on the ground when we've got a lot of these utilities. So, what we would have to do as part of this is relocate some of these utilities. So, when we talk about right of way, we would need about 35 feet, then we have to look where you might put some of these other utilities. Because these utility companies want to make sure they can access utilities at a future date, and they don't want them under the pavement. So that kind of gets you a sense of what it would look like in a more urban or suburban area. Now in some of these open space areas, again, comparable. Maybe two stations, no right away either, but again, the open areas would use you to expand a little bit more. Some of these that we'll be dealing with, if that are different. Option 5 is the reconstruct and widen later and accommodate the Star Line reserve right-of-way is what we're calling this one. Basically, we would do the same thing, intermittent pavement repairs, get us through 2016. Starting in 2017 is when we would start our major reconstruction widening, and then we would carve out down the middle accommodations for the Star Line corridor for the rail. Again, it defers some of the cost until a later date. It does address the long-term congestion capacity need. It is a multimodal corridor. This, you know, this would be the big one. Again, impacts of this, we're going to have to figure things out through 2017 as far as paving conditions go. Increased project costs because you're delaying these improvements by inflation. Again, the issue would be transit funding. If the transit funding is not available in 2017, or we may have to wait until 2017 for any transit funding to be available for this. And overall, this does have the largest footprint, and it does have pretty high cost improvement. Let me go through some of the costs on this. Total construction cost for the tollway elements would be $2.477 million, so exactly the same as the EBS, because work is paying for the roadway element. The total other cost, so these would be the cost to accommodate that reserve right-of-way, would be in the range of $980 million to $979 million. You would need an additional $1.1 billion to make the service operational. So that would basically get you the rail and actually roll in stock and have an operational service. So the total cost of the tollway would be about $2.47. The total other cost, as Paul said, you know, we know some of it is definitely transit. There might be something that gets tricky to us, not much. But to make this service operational, you would need an additional basically $2.1 billion, a little less than $2.1 billion, to have a fully operational service. And the total capital cost of this would be about $4.5 billion. So that was when Mike talked about the range. This was at the high end of the range. Again, similar station areas. Traditional right-of-way, what you see in orange is where the edge of the pavement would be. The roadway standpoint, I think the station areas would look like. For this, you would need anywhere between outside of the station, 0 to 20 feet of additional right-of-way. And those areas where the station is, you need about 30 feet of additional right-of-way, up to 30 feet of additional right-of-way to accommodate the station areas. So maybe too much on that. Same thing in the open space areas. Again, it's kind of a good sense of what these projects mean. And what really, you know, what affects some of these projects is the right-of-way. Actually, you know, how it takes time to acquire that right-of-way, which we know from going through some of our programs. So it does delay some of the implementation time on these projects. Okay, now we truly are getting into the home stretch as far as these options, because all we're going to talk about now is different iterations of what we've already talked about. One of the options that we looked at was a reconstruct now and adding a reserve right-of-way for the star line. So that's basically say, we've got three lanes out there now. Let's tear that apart and put a star line down the middle, and let's not put down any additional pavement. Just was one of the options that we looked at. What we have found here is that, and this wasn't just totally speaking, others at CMAP, even the measures themselves, feel that, you know, there will still be demand for the additional roadway capacity and some form of transit capacity along this entire corridor. So this is one of those options where we looked at it. Maybe it doesn't make the most sense because you're spending a lot and not getting that long-term benefit out of it. The total construction cost to the tollway would be a little over $2 billion. The additional transit, combined additional transit cost is about another $2.1 billion. So for a total capital cost of $4.1 billion. And we looked at reconstructing and widening now. So it's basically either one of these options with the Starline or the express bus service. Can we do it now and accommodate transit? Obviously, you know, the biggest issue is what you get out of this, the benefits are. It is it's a lower highway construction cost because you're taking advantage of today's market instead of waiting 7 years to do the work, so you get that benefit of a lower capital cost because you're avoiding inflation. It also brings in the highest amount of revenue because you're bringing the improvements online sooner. The total capital cost of this would be about $1.8 billion, or nearly 1.9, for the tollway roadway elements. The additional transit cost would be, you know, comparable. It would be a little bit lower if you wanted to incorporate just the express bus service. It would be $667 million for express bus service. Those other costs accommodating the right-of-way and about another $810 million if we were to accommodate, which isn't shown on here. $810 million in today's dollars, starting the project now to accommodate the Star Line. And the additional transit cost would be $525 million for the express bus service, $1.1 billion for the Star Line. So these are kind of interchangeable between transit elements, but this gives you a perspective. One of the options we need to consider is can and should we do this now, if we could generate that kind of capital. Then here, this was kind of interesting. You know, the Star Line issue or the concern is really everything from Route 59 or Hawking Estates all the way into the Canada. So one option that we looked at to say is, well, we've got pavement that needs to be addressed. So can we do a reconstruction widen in those areas where we need to do the widening? So from 59 to Elgin to the west, that 6 mile stretch, let's do the reconstruction widen now and reconstruct everything from Elgin all the way out to the Cherry Valley Plaza now. So we basically take care of all of our issues on that western 40 some odd mile stretch and deferring the eastern piece until later. So what we would do on the eastern piece is do some continued intermittent pavement repairs, keep it in a state of good repair while we can to allow the transit option to mature. What this option doesn't do, it really defers all the improvements in the most congested sections of I-90, but it does address our pavement concerns. So, you know, definitely something to think about. But it does allow time for some of the transit elements to mature. And then the last option, like I said, you know, one thing that we looked at was doing nothing. As you can see, doing nothing really costs a lot of money.
Say that again.
Yeah, doing nothing costs a lot. Because it truly does. Because what we would do is get out there and do our... Basically, what it does is we're not addressing the issue. And so from now until 2016, we would do our repairs. These short-term repairs, the repairs that we have in our program, they're going to get us 5 years, 6 years maybe, with some additional help through there. But if we do nothing after that, what we do know is that we would have to be out there annually doing about a complete resurfacing of about 50% of the roadway every single year. So that's why the do-nothing option costs a lot, because you're all you're doing is basically putting a roof shingle on the leaky hole in your roof, and every year you're going to put that roof shingle back on, but you know, the water's still leaking through. So that's kind of what it would be like. So doing nothing is going to cost us a lot of money, because we're out there annually doing additional repairs. It doesn't only just cost us an upfront capital cost. What we lose here is revenue. And the reason we do this is because, again, what we do know is every time we're in construction, people leave the system. We keep our lanes open, as many lanes as we have, but that's the reality. People do jump off, so we would be, you know, potentially losing some revenue on these options. So, and as you can see, the total capital cost to us would be about $2 billion, so it's more than some of these reconstruct and reconstructed widening options to do nothing. So that's why do nothing costs something.
I wanted to mention, we feel pretty good about the programs we have right now, because we are going to do some resurfacing, and it is going to buy us some time. And Rock was mentioned in almost every one, the ones where we don't reconstruct it now, that we're going to have unreliable conditions. It's not so much unreliable as it is unpredictable. We're going into our fifth rehabilitation cycle on this corridor. It's 50 years old. We haven't gone into five rehabilitation cycles on any of our system yet, and I don't think any of the systems within the Chicagoland area have gone through five yet. So we're kind of hedging and committing to how much time we're going to get out of it. Rocco said 5 years, could be 10 years, but it's going to be unpredictable because we're in an area where we haven't gone before, and the underlying pavement is going to get very difficult to determine how it's going to behave.
This is like doing repairs on an old home and uncovering something that is going to cost more in the long run. So
I call it Tuesday at home. So what we try to show here, and Mike was just pointing out to me that there's some inaccuracies in the way this kind of lays out. What we try to show is, you know, graphically depict of how these options kind of stack up next to each other. Mike, which was the one that was incorrect?
No, it's just the numbers don't line up with ours, just so you can see.
I got you.
Your third one is number 3. Your third one is above number 4.
We match it by colors. Really what these are intended to do, if we were to click on it, I could go back to any one of those options.
But to compare them, so number 3, while the lowest cost really to us, with the highest return in revenue, is large because there's no transit and it's an immediate fix to that, you know, super tracking cost.
So that's pretty much all I wanted to go through. You know, appreciate the time, because there's a lot of details on all this stuff, and we took a lot of time to try to work through some of the stuff to make it as easy as possible. I'm sure I didn't do that, but I tried. Because there's a lot of details, and you'll see in the book that you'll get with this, to kind of match up some of the stuff. But these again are some of the issues that you know, they'll be up to the board. So.
Question.
Okay. Obviously, number 9 is to do nothing is not something that I think we should even consider.
Right.
If this road is in such a state. Condition that is, that we need to repair it, we need to look at what the longest return is going to be to us, and that is to reconstruct it and widen it. And that has to be balanced with all of the different transit modes that you're trying to talk about, because the question is how long and how far out are those before those become reality. Some of that perhaps will be discussed in the chair's discussion with her counterparts at the other organizations, and I'm hopeful that that's the case. But when you look at the revenue that's generated, when you talk about billions being spent, it concerns me that that number is so low in many respects, and that we have to be thinking about how do we accommodate the hot lanes, the transit component, the Star Line, whatever it may be, how do we try to accommodate that as best we can now and develop that option. To me, I'm looking at option 7 and saying, okay, does $124 million in revenue substantiate what we would have to do from a bonding perspective, and do we have that capacity?
Let me make a clarification on the revenue standpoint, just so we get this. $124 million is just basically within the 10-year planning horizon, so it basically would be from 2017 to 2027. So that is not necessarily indicative of overall
30-year body, right?
Correct.
And okay. If we could, I mean, I think we will have, let me just say, you know, we started last month talking about the interchange at 294 and 57, and the staff has very generously agreed over the next couple of months to bring us the major projects that Mike had outlined here. I think the question of how we finance this, we need to set aside some time to, in a meeting, really to understand how it generates the kind of revenue exclusive of the, maybe, of the particular projects that we're talking about.
I guess I'm just suggesting that as we look at this, that we try to create that vision for the future and say, what are we going to need here? And let's not be short-sighted, because we've seen so many projects. I-57 and 294 is a perfect example. There is no reason those two interstates shouldn't have been connected when they were both built. But for some reason, and I'm sure it was cost, and perhaps whatever other reasons, it wasn't. And it should have been. And I guess I don't want to see us launch into something that could be very, very positive for this region and be short-sighted in that capacity. And yes, this is at the 50,000-foot level, and we've got a whole lot of hand-to-hand to do to figure out exactly what the right approach is. I'm just suggesting that we need to make sure that we do a lot of that hand-to-hand.
If the construction costs are accurate, it really is 7 to 3 are really the smartest alternatives. They're the same price as any, you know, Band-Aid approach. It gets the system rebuilt from O'Hare to the end of 90, and then the issue becomes, Paula, are the other two organizations ready to go forward, Metra and Star? That's number 7, and 3 is without Metra and Star. But the total construction cost of $1,863 is still the cheapest of all. But Mike, that's got to interface. I know we're bond deep right now, and so you got to have a reality gut check here. Mm-hmm. But if we're really truly going to spend that much on Band-Aids, then we got to find a way to do it, and that's what needs to be determined.
And I think that's the reason that we want to really try to look at not only this one, but the other major projects over the next couple of meetings, so that we can get a sense of what the competing priorities are. And we will continue to work with IDOT, RTA, the Governor's Office, CMAP, and NPC. We really appreciate the amount of time that takes for everybody to get on the same page, our staff and the others. And we're going to refine this list and then figure out how to recommend the project. That's going to be our responsibility sometime late spring, early summer, to review the project, the benefits and the financing options, and figure out where we go from here. I would like to open it up to anybody who has come specifically because of this presentation, who might have any comments or concerns, who's not a member of the board. I know it isn't officially a yellow piece of paper for public comment, but I would like to encourage people to, if they have questions or comments, to do that.
Mayor, do you think?
No, it was a very informative discussion, and we learned a lot today, and I appreciate all the work that went into it. Rocky, you got a great engineer, Rocky, there.
Any short. Anybody else? Anything further from the directors?
I think it was just encouraging to see, you know, the amount of work that really goes into this, and Rocco and Paul and everybody else that participated in this. Thank you, because it is a very critically important effort and program that we're about. And the projects of the future that were commented on earlier, you can see the complexities of all of these things. So they're, you know, it's easy to throw a dart at and say, why didn't we do that? Because there are so many complexities. But
join the conference.
We've demonstrated as an organization or an agency that we have really good telephone.
There are two participants on the call, including you. You are joining your conference as the host for a menu of available commands.
We've talked about the capacity before. And we've done over $1 billion annually each of the last 5 years and done it very well, witnessing all the accolades that have been presented to the engineering staff and others. And I just think we need to make sure that we don't look at this isolated, that we look at those other future projects and make sure that we've got a good, clear direction on it, because it's going to be for the successors to this board and others to carry this forward. And I think that's important that we lay a good, solid framework for it.
And we do know that other agencies such as CMAP are working on the vision for the region as well and have a list of projects. We would obviously interface with them.
And for each of you to know, we will be starting as we go through all these different projects, if you want one-on-one discussions or more information than any of them, to contact Rocco or I, Paul, and we will nail down and find time to sit with you or with anyone you suggest. This is really the public discussion. We start to get it out there as we refine the scenarios. We'll begin to expand it to the communities deeper to talk to folks about the impact on their areas.
Madam Chair, this is Phil Morris.
Welcome back.
That was a really good presentation. A bit overwhelming.
He's been watching
on the camera, on the computer.
Right, but part of it is the numbers. At some point, can Mike Kelch and his gang begin to project out what these various things would cost in terms of tolls? I don't think any of us are comfortable with raising tolls, but when the numbers went from millions to billions, it's obviously we don't have a binding capacity with our 2-to-1 coverage requirement to do much of this. So I think, you know, between your effort to get the other agencies together and sometime in the next 3 months or 4 months, maybe we could have a 1 or 2 day, you know, board retreat, public meeting, whatever we have to do, to really go through the numbers and sort of prioritize, because, you know, to have all of this great planning out there and no realistic way to pay for it is just kind of a waste of time.
Absolutely. And Mike is nodding if you can't see him on the computer.
He said we could pay for it all.
That's right. Well, you know, I know Mike is frugal, but I didn't know that he was pursing his gut running check.
Anything else? Director Cradle, are you there too?
I think he is.
Okay. Any other comments on this question? Now we will go into the consent agenda. This is my monthly test. So we'll start with information technology, and we can take that's 5.1. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Pass. 5.2, finance. Let's take 1 and 2 together. May I have a motion?
Motion approved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Engineering will take 1 through 4. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All votes in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, number 5, Director Rawls abstains. May I have a motion for 5, please?
Motion approved.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes, then we'll take 6 and 7 together. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. 8 and 9, Director Rawls also abstains. Let's take those. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
That motion passes. 10 through, I think, 24. Right? Okay. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That motion passes as well. Now we'll turn to 5.4, legal. We'll take number 1. Director Walt abstains on that one as well. That's the intergovernmental agreement with DuPage. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. And then the second is the settlement agreement. Motion?
Motion approved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. You did it?
Yes.
Okay. Any unfinished or old business? Okay. Any new business? Okay. I think I will entertain a motion to go into executive session to continue the work that we had done. Do you want to repeat the motion, please?
For this segment, it will be pursuant to 2C6 and 2C11 of the open meeting law.
Okay. Motion?
Oh.
Second?
Yes,
we want to thank our guests for coming. Appreciate it very much. We'll take a couple minutes and come back to executive session.